Amen.
Let's continue to pray for the ministry there in Mauritius, for the O'Sullivans ministering there, and also the Herringsons. And specifically this evening at 6:30, which will be 12:30 their time, there is a funeral service following the morning service there. You might recall a number of weeks ago a young lady was baptised. They mentioned her. Her mother passed away, and the mother had been saved and recently. So she's passed away, and they wanted to have a little service for her. So following their service, they're having a funeral service. That's different. So no doubt unsaved people will be there. So Brother Francois passed on that request, asked if we would pray for, especially for Pastor Herringson, as he is taking the service. And so let's remember them in our prayers. Brother Francois and Mrs. Surrett leave for Mauritius next Saturday, and they'll be there for about a month. So we need to remember them in our prayers. They're ministering at Victory Baptist Church tonight. So let's pray for the ministry there, Mauritius. And let's pray specifically for this service that's about to start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to help and support those that are serving you on the mission field. And Lord, we pray for that ministry there in Mauritius at this time, that you would continue to do a work of grace. Thank you for the provision of a shepherd in the Herringsons. Pastor Herringson has been ministering there for now almost into his eighth month, and I pray as he prepares to take this service shortly, I pray that you will fill him with your Holy Spirit. And no doubt there will be people of Catholic background that will be at this service. Lord, I pray that give him liberty to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we pray for the Herringsons and also for the O'Sullivans, no doubt there ministering, seeking to minister. Lord, may this be an opportunity for the furtherance of the gospel. And thank you for the way that you've worked in this, Lord, and we look to you to give the spiritual increase. And we pray for Brother and Mrs. Surrett as they prepare to fly back to Mauritius in the coming week. Lord God, I pray that their time over in Mauritius will be profitable, and that you will continue to lead and guide them into the center of your perfect will for the days to come. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please, chapter 43. By the way, Brother Surrett got his results on Thursday. Good result. And specialist is very happy. No, nothing untoward. So they're rejoicing. So continue to pray for his full healing. Genesis chapter 43, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table tonight, I'd just like to spend a few moments looking at God's graciousness towards us. Look at verse number 16, please. Genesis chapter 43, verse 16, we'll read, and then we'll read verse number 26 as well. Genesis chapter 43, verse 16 reads, "And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, 'Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon.'" Then look at verse 26. "And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth." We see within this passage of scripture that Joseph sees Benjamin for the very first time in some 20 years. And this would have been a very emotional time for him.
And that's obvious because there in verse number 30 it reads, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there." So some 20 years have passed, and finally Joseph sees his next of kin, his brother Benjamin, little Benjamin. So he was no doubt full of emotion. And back there in verse number 16, he said to the ruler of his house, "Prepare a feast with these men, and I will dine with them at noon," the Bible teaches us. Joseph is a very powerful figure at this time in history. And it's important that we bear that in mind. He's second in charge of the very powerful and prosperous Egyptian Empire. And with this power and position, we see within this chapter, as the chapter draws to a close from verses 26 to 34, we see his graciousness towards his siblings, his brothers that have wronged him and hurt him in time past. Though he's very powerful, though he can just click his fingers and just make it happen, we see grace here in the life of Joseph towards his own brothers. And this reminds me of the fact that God who is all-powerful, we have wronged him and hurt him with our sin. It was our sin that nailed God the Son to the cross. Yet God in his graciousness has provided redemption for you and I that are hell-bound sinners. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, the grace of God. And as we see Joseph graciously treating his wretched brothers that sold him into slavery, I'd like for us to note, I'd like for us to just take time out to consider and appreciate God's graciousness towards us as guilty sinners. God not only saves us by his grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith." But God also deals with us with grace. God is very gracious to us. In John 1, 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth." And we see within this passage of Scripture, Joseph dealing with his brothers, his own flesh and blood that have wronged him and no doubt hurt him deeply in time past. And we see the graciousness of Joseph towards his brothers. A wonderful picture of the graciousness of God towards us. A wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus, who was full of grace and truth. God's graciousness to us. God not only saves us by his grace, he invites us, number one, to dine with him in fellowship, because God is gracious. Note there in verse number 16, once again, that he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home." To his home, Joseph's home, "slay and make ready. For these men shall dine with me at noon." He invites them to dine with him in fellowship. The brothers of Joseph were invited to dine not with just any commoner. This is Pharaoh's second man. I don't think it was normal for a man of his prominence to host insignificant strangers that he was suspicious concerning whether they were really genuine. I don't think it was common. And beloved, I'd like to remind you this evening that we have been invited to dine and fellowship with the King of Kings. That's God's graciousness. The Lord Jesus said to his disciple in John 21:12, come and dine. Come and dine. Food and fellowship go hand in hand. As God feeds us with his word, we can enjoy the sweet fellowship in his presence and communion in prayer. Song of Solomon 2:14 reads, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. This is God's cry towards you. Let me see thy countenance, O my dove. Let me hear thy voice, prayer, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance, thy presence is comely. It's attractive to me. God wants us to come and dine, and God's graciousness towards you and I is evident in the fact that we are invited to dine and fellowship with the King of Kings, the one that we have hurt, the one that we have wronged, the one that we nailed on the cross with our sins. Those nails represent our sins. That treatment he received on the cross represent our sin that nailed him to that cross. God's graciousness towards us is in the fact that we've been invited to dine with God Almighty. We have access into the presence of God Almighty through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an open invitation. And I wonder, do you take advantage of that? Do we take time out to spend time in his presence? The one that invites us to dine with him. You and I would consider it not very polite to be invited to a meal and not to turn up. That wouldn't be considered appropriate. And God invites you and I to dine with him. Now this is Joseph, a powerful man, and he invites these strangers, but you might say, oh, but they're brothers, Pastor. But hey, he hasn't dealt with them for some 20 years. Do they have any credibility in his before him? Yes or no? No, he's trying to establish credibility. And yet he reaches out in grace and he said to his ruler, I want them to dine with me. Not at a third-party restaurant. No. My home. At noon. That's God's grace. We're invited to dine with our Lord. Do we take it for granted and turn up when we are in particular need? Or do we make it a priority to spend time in his presence, reading his word and in prayer? The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, come and dine. The Lord Jesus is saying to you and I this evening, come and dine. That's God's graciousness. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to see us in his presence. He wants to hear our voices in his presence. We that are responsible for his death on the cross, God is gracious towards us. Come and dine. And I'd like to encourage you with that thought initially this evening, that God's graciousness towards us is illustrated in the fact that Joseph graciously invites his brothers that have wronged him, that have hurt him, to come and dine in his presence. And God invites you and I trust that we are taking
advantage of that. I trust that we are spending time in his presence, valuing the privilege to sit at the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 27, please, of Genesis chapter 43. Note another example of grace that Joseph demonstrates towards his brothers. Look at verse 27. So they enter into his home with their present. The Bible teaches us they bow before him in reverence, and he asked them, verse 27, of their welfare, and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive?" So they bow before him in his home, and Joseph asked after their well-being. And then he asked after the well-being of their father, specifically Jacob, Israel. Did he need to? Yes or no? No. What's it to him? Was it an advantage to him to know whether they are well and whether their father is well? No. Why did he ask? Because he loved them. He loved his family. It's nice to be asked after, isn't it? You ever been with somebody and somebody says to you to the effect, "Oh, so-and-so asked after you. They said to say hello." That's nice. I like that. Do you like that? It's nice to be remembered. It's nice to be thought of. And Joseph asked after their well-being. Here they are, flat on their face, on the ground. "How are you going? How's Dad? Is he still alive? Is he well?" We are sons of God by faith, are we not? And our Heavenly Father is concerned about us. God is concerned about our welfare. Just like Joseph was concerned about the welfare of his brothers and the welfare of his father, God the Father is concerned about your welfare. God is concerned about our welfare. He asks after us. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. Wonderful, wonderful verse that we need to be reminded of time and time again. 7. 1 Peter 5:7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." It's wonderful to have people care for you. And we need God's care. Why? Look at verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because there's somebody that doesn't care about you and I. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." God cares for you. Beloved, we are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father is concerned about us. The devil's not concerned about us, but God the Father's concerned about us. And Joseph graciously said to his brothers, "How are you? How are you going? How's Dad? Is he well? Is he still alive?" What's it to Joseph? Nothing. Outside of the fact this is his own family. And because he loved them, he was concerned about them. And God loves you. Yes, God loves you. "Casting all your cares upon him, for he
careth for you. The disciples went blank in a moment of crisis there on the Sea of Galilee and said to our Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh dear. Carest thou not that we perish? How could they possibly question the care and love of their Savior? But they did they not? Isn't that typical of you and I from time to time? Talk to me. It's true, isn't it? Carest thou not that we perish? We look back and think, oh, those disciples, what a bunch of dummies. What a bunch of dummies. How could they question the loving care of their God? Oh, we are just as guilty from time to time. Joseph cared. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. God is gracious towards us. He cares for us. God is gracious towards us. He invites us to fellowship with Him. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, for He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God cares for you. God loves you. You might feel unloved at this time, but hey, God loves you. God cares for you. Joseph asked concerning the well-being, the welfare of his own brothers and father because he loved them. He cared for them. And God in His graciousness cares for you. Look at verse 29 to 31, please. Let's see another mark of gracefulness. The grace of God illustrated from the life of Joseph. Verse 29, he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. This is Rachel's son. This is his full brother's. You know, there's a link here. He's moving emotionally, big time. And said, "Is this your younger brother?" Wow, that would have been hard to say. "Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" He wants to make sure this is really Benjamin. Benjamin. And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste. He cracked up, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. In verse 31, he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." Let's eat. The third principle I'd like for us to note here is that God has placed a special blessing on all of us. God is very personal. Not only does God invite us to dine with Him and to spend time in His presence, to feed from His Word and to commune with Him, but God is very gracious to us in that He cares for us. But thirdly, I'd like for you to see here in this passage of Scripture that Joseph marks out Benjamin. Benjamin is singled out. And Joseph said to him, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." In Christ, listen to me carefully, in Christ we are singled out. And He places His blessings upon us according to His bountiful grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In Christ, as we walk with Him, His specific blessings will be upon us. And just like Joseph singled out Benjamin and said, "God bless you, my son. God be gracious to you, my son. You and I likewise, as individuals, are blessed of God. And you are a Benjamin in the sight of God. Oh, Pastor, not me. Yes, you. You are a Benjamin in the sight of God. God has placed his blessings upon you. That's God's grace. God has blessed you. God has blessed me in a very personal ways that are different to the way that God has blessed you personally. But at the end of the day, in God's sight, we are Benjamins. We are Benjamins. God has blessed us. God has blessed me in ways that might be different to how God has blessed you. My sister-in-law said to me yesterday, I was spending some time with my youngest brother, said to me, oh, you're very lucky. You've been to all of these different places overseas. And I said to my sister-in-law, God has blessed me. If I wasn't a Christian, I would never have had the opportunity to go to Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, Japan, Israel, etc., etc. And I was able to witness to my sister-in-law, God has blessed me. Hey, God has blessed you. You're a Benjamin. I'm a Benjamin. You know, when C.H. Spurgeon baptized his two sons, it was a very emotional time for him. He preached a sermon from that passage there in the book of Genesis. These are the children that God has graciously given to me. So when Spurgeon not only got to witness his sons being saved, and then he was honored and privileged to baptize them, he said, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. God has blessed you. You're a Benjamin. Do you realize that? You're a Benjamin. Just like Joseph pointed out Benjamin, God points you out. And you have blessings upon your life that are different to the blessings upon my life. At the end of the day, in Christ, we are Benjamins and God blesses his people. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Look at verse 32 and 33. So they make preparations for the meal now. Note then verse 32 and 32. They set for him by him, and they set on for him by himself, for them by themselves, for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. So what happens here is that Joseph, as he prepares to host his brothers, he seats his brothers from youngest to eldest. And they marvel because they're wondering, how does he know our ages? Now, it wasn't fitting to eat for Hebrews to eat with the Egyptians. So they had to eat on separate tables. They couldn't eat together. That was not acceptable. So Joseph follows protocol and they sit on different tables, and Joseph organizes his brothers from youngest to eldest. And there at the end of verse 33, the men marveled one to another. How does he know our ages? But unknown to them, he knew more about them than what they realized. Am I right or not? Yeah. He remembered their ages. Pretty good. It's been over 20 years. He's obviously been thoughtful and he's refreshed, no doubt. And what's the application for you and I? Well, we don't know the future, but we know the one that holds the future in his hand. And therefore, we have hope. The brothers were mystified that Joseph, this man, they're yet to know it's Joseph, had them seated in order. How does he know? How does he know our ages? See, we don't know the future, but we know the one that holds the future. Therefore, we live with hope. For Romans 15:13 reads, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." When you and I bask in the fact that we have hope in God, we can enjoy his peace. We can enjoy his fullness of joy in the power of the Holy Spirit. To be without hope is to be miserable, the Bible teaches us. No matter what happens, God is in control. We have hope in God. And this man knew something about them that they were amazed. How did he know our ages? And beloved, let me encourage you. God holds the world, eternity, in the palm of his hand. He works from and for eternity. We have hope in Christ Jesus. We have a future. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blessed hope of the soon coming of Christ. We have hope because we know the one that holds the future in the palm of his hand. See, this man knew something about that group of men dining with him. And God knows everything about you. He has every hair on your head numbered. That's how much God knows you. That's how much God knows me. And that gives me hope. As Joseph seated them in age order, we see that God is not finished with them. He has a future plan for them. God is working from and for eternity. And so likewise, it's no different for us. We have hope because God is gracious towards us. We have eternal life. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. There is hope. That's the mark of God's graciousness. And last but not least, look at verse number 34. God gives us a lot more than what we can imagine. That's God's graciousness. Look at verse 34. And he took and sent messes unto them, that's food, unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess or portion was five times so much as any of theirs. So he sends the food over to their table. And he deliberately sends little Benjamin, his little brother, five times more. Wow, that's grace. That's God's grace. He provides abundantly for them, but with a special allowance for Benjamin. Even though he was not able to sit with them, he still took care of them in a very personal and a very extravagant manner. In 2 Chronicles 25:9, and Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What about that 100 pieces of silver that we gave to enlist that extra help in warfare?" And the man of God said, "Hey, God is able to give you a lot more than that. Don't you worry about those 100 pieces of silver. God is able to give you so much more. God gives us more than what we could ever imagine." I'm sure that every one of you this evening could testify, God has been gracious to me. God has been gracious to me. I have not received what I deserve. God has been good to me. God has done so much more for me, and I am not worthy. It's like you and I, Benjamin, God has poured out five times more upon us. got a lot more than what I deserve. And so do you. That's God's grace. God in His graciousness will give us a lot more than what we deserve. And the Bible teaches us that in verse number 34, at the end of that it reads, "And they drank and were merry with Him." They were happy. They were having a lovely time, lovely meal. They were taken care of very well. They were happy. No, they weren't drunk. They weren't drunk. They were happy. The word merry in the Bible doesn't necessarily mean they were drunk. They were happy. Normally, if you had a good meal and good fellowship and nice surroundings, you're happy. Is that right? Yeah. They were happy. They were very happy. Are you happy in the Lord? Beloved, if you will drink from the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ, from within the Scriptures, your heart will be full of joy as you experience His graciousness in the power of the Holy Spirit. God is very gracious to us. God is gracious to all, in fact, especially to those of us that are in Christ. We have tasted His graciousness and salvation. And the Lord's table gives us an opportunity to be reminded of His graciousness. Joseph was gracious towards his brothers. Did they deserve that grace, yes or no? Did they deserve? No. But how was His graciousness evident? He said, "Come and dine with me. I'm concerned about you." He placed a special blessing upon Benjamin. He gave them hope in the fact that He knew something about them that they didn't know. They were in good hands. And last but not least, God gave them, Joseph gave them abundantly. And God is gracious to us in Christ Jesus. And I'd like to encourage you this evening that at our Lord's table, we have the opportunity to be reminded of the fact that God is gracious. His body was broken. His blood was shed. God is gracious. And this evening, as we spend a few moments around our Lord's table, I'd like to encourage you, consider the graciousness of God. Just like Joseph was gracious towards his own flesh and blood that had wronged him and hurt him to no end, caused him so much grief and strife in time past. But He was gracious towards them. And so likewise, God is gracious towards us. Let's rejoice in the graciousness of God this evening. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.